Tony Fitzpatrick, fresh off an airplane. I thought I was only going to be in here with his son, Max. But Tony has arrived. He is with his son, Max. They're both actors. Max is more a sort of business entrepreneur than you are, but you own a gallery. And at that gallery on February 8th, we'll open a show by two brilliant photographers who were also sitting here. What I said is, one said, well, we don't really speak English that well. And I said, well, Tony can talk for all of us. I don't speak English that well, and Tony can do this. Max, let me ask you first. Are you excited about this show? I have just been looking at the work of Liza Mora and Caetano Avezzato, and couldn't stop looking at it.
Yeah. It's a real thing, man.
Yeah, we're really excited for this show, actually. You know, we met Caetano in Paris at the Renaissance Hotel, and he worked the front. And I'll be honest, I did not know how he felt about us originally.
Well, that's always the case. You know, I've known you since you were born, Max, and I've known your dad for 41 years, and you don't know what I think of you, for God's sake.
Well, I could guess sometimes.
you can guess.
Yeah, we took over the hotel lobby every night.
When you were over
night.
There filming, right. Patriot. Filming Patriot.
In the very, you know, wee hours of the morning. And
one night, Caetano showed me some of Liza's photos and some of his photos, and I said, I want to see more. And, you know, Paris was a rich thing for us. We met a lot of artists.
Well, it's changed. Yeah. I actually think it's changed your life creatively and artistically,
absolutely.
Tony.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm kind of crazy for the place. And these guys are originally from Brazil. So.
Right. How did you two wind up in Paris?
A few years ago, our country was really, really messed economically. Completely stuck.
Sure.
It was hard to find a job. It was hard to pay the life. So we decided to move back to the Europe. Liz is a Portuguese descendant. So we went to Portugal to make some citizenship papers. We spent some time in Portugal. And then we moved to Paris. That was a France, actually. It was,
you know, Paris traditionally, and I've seen it happen with Tony and even with you too, Max, Paris traditionally has been the most nurturing ground for artists for centuries.
Absolutely.
It obviously remains so. It remains so for the two of you and for the Fitzpatrick clan over there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in every art form, too. And not just painting and drawing, not just photography. Not just filmmaking, not just writing. I mean, there's a certain heady mix of all of that.
There's a certain freedom there. What do you think it is, Tony?
I think that there's a statue in the Republic Square that says liberty, equality, and fraternity. And the liberty part they take real, real seriously. And artists have a pretty free hand in Paris. However regimented other things or intransigent governmental kind of things become, artists are given a long, long leash. You know, you would never see what happened with the NEA years ago here.
Sure.
But Paris right now is going through a lot of flux.
Tell me again what you thought. You met when Liza and Caetano were both working at the hotel.
Caetano.
Just
Liza,
Caetano.
I have not met yet.
And you and Max were misbehaving at the hotel.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were on a nightly basis.
and to shut you up, Caetano said, look, I have these photographs. Be quiet. I want you to look at these photographs.
Well, yes. I kept getting a little tiny ink spots on the carpet in the room because I was drawing.
Sure.
So I would give everybody a little etching and say, yeah, I'm really sorry I screwed up again. You know. And you know, Caetano and I started talking about art, you know, and he said, well, I'm married to a marvelous photographer, and I'm a photographer as well. So I said, do you have any on your phone? And he started showing them to me, and it's like, this guy's not casual. These two are not casual photographers. They're I see him right up there with like Dorothea Lange, Robert Capa.
So do I. After seeing what you can see, what I need to ask all of you though, because you know me, I don't know anything about photography except what I see and my visceral reaction to it. But in this day and age, where every single human being with a telephone
has a camera,
they believe themselves to be photographers.
Not me.
Neither do I, because I've worked with enough professionals in the pre-phone era.
John White,
Charles Osgood, yeah. Chuck Cherney, there are a million of them, exactly. Chris Walker, that I want you all, the four of you, you too, Max,
yeah,
to tell me what a photographer is in this era where everybody is a photographer. Max, what do you think that
wow.
means?
Wow.
I struggle with this question all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have an Instagram, but I don't consider myself a photographer.
Right.
I have a lot of friends that are photographers and are putting themselves out there as that, but it's so weird. We all do have our phones. We all can tell a story. I think it's just a matter of, like, who's actually putting those stories together and, you know, whether they want to actually tell that story. I think there's people definitely telling stories right now, and they don't even know it, and probably in years to come, they're going to look at all these pictures and be like, wow, I have something to tell from my past, or maybe, you know, I have something to tell right now, but I don't know. I think anyone can be an artist or a photographer. It's just like, do you really want to put your mind to that? What story do you want to tell, and, you know, where can you tell this story? I don't know. It's a very complex question.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
We just lost the great photographer Mark Hauser. And what I always noticed about him and every great photographer whose work I've ever looked at, and I include Caetano and Lisa in this.
Absolutely.
They wait for the moment where whatever they are aiming their camera at reveals itself. And sometimes it's only a second. And they get it. They get the lightning into the bottle.
Yeah.
And there's no hiding in photography. You either catch the salient, transcendent moment, or you don't.
What part of... That's very well put. Lisa and Caetano, what part of the photographer comes into the photo? I could look at an Instagram all day and not be as moved and touched in an inexplicable way that I am by your work. There are a couple pictures of yours of children that just almost knocked me out of a chair. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that there is something of the photographer that goes into the photo. I know that's not even a question, but it's a philosophical concept. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Totally. As Lisa just told me right now.
Tell that guy Rick to shut up, she said. Just that Rick's an idiot. Let Tony talk.
No, she told me exactly. To be a photographer on the days of today, the most important is you need to have a soul. You may do empty things, take your telephone and shoot every day doing empty things. Doesn't mean nothing, just a bunch of data. Then you can take your telephone or even a matchbox with a film inside with a pinhole and do an amazing job. So adding that, in my opinion, the most important thing is how can you transmit emotion to someone.
That's it. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I love to do analogy with kitchen because I work a long time in kitchen as well in France. You can do an omelette, a very bad omelette. You can do the most delicious omelette in life. It's still an omelette. It depends what emotion you're transmitting, what the thing you're preparing, you know?
Yeah.
A photography is the same.
You have to, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spell the names for you so you can go online and look at the work before Ben posts this later this week. Lizamoura. Got it? Lizamoura. That's the lovely woman sitting here. Her husband, also a photographer. Caetano, C-A-E-T T-A-N-O, Azevedo, A-Z-E-V-E-D-O. So sometime after this show, sometime when you wake up, it'd be a marvelous thing. I'd like you all to have sleepless nights, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then spend a couple hours with these two online.
And you can. If you started at 4 in the morning,
I guarantee you, you would...
I think the definition that I take from what Caetano just said is that to be a photographer today, you have to be able to absolutely, when you're shooting human beings, to heighten their humanity, to make us less afraid of people we don't know and who are not like us.
Yeah.
I often compare what they do to studs, to Tony Bourdain, who spent his life making this show about other cultures that made us all less afraid of each other.
Yeah.
So they have a couple of projects. One with the new refugees in Paris, the new immigrants. And I think particularly, I was talking with Caetano, and he said, you know, we're an immigrant people, you know?
Yeah.
And at the very heart of being Americans, we are an immigrant people.
Well, you two also, you and Max must have, and I got this sense because we talked a few times while you were in Paris.
Yeah.
You both had the feeling of being, you know, just sort of strangers in a strange land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to adjust, trying to learn how to say merci beaucoup, however you might have
No, you know what I did? I had a Dodge. Oh, no. Rick, I had a Chicago Dodge for it. I would walk around with the most sincere look on my face and only go, désolé, je parle un peu français, you know? And I thought, whoa, what a sweet guy.
Yeah.
This poor elf can't speak French. Let's help him out, you know? But yeah, you do... I mean, you felt that moment of otherness.
Yeah. You two felt it viscerally, even though with there, you have a lot of friends, you're making a great television series, but you had to feel it.
But oddly, I didn't run into anything other than unfailing kindness. Everyone was so nice to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were guys telling me, well, you're going to run into a lot of haughty and snooty. It's like,
oh, that's nonsense.
Yeah, if you're a jackass, I mean, you run into a lot of haughty and snooty.
You find it right here.
The people of France, or Paris more rather, I think they really looked at you and looked at what, you know, who you are and not what you have and where you come from and any of that. So there was a really genuine... just persona in the average Parisian, and they really do care about you. They really do wonder, you know, who you are, not just, you know, again, where you come from, what you have.
They're curious,
you know,
too.
Yeah.
Another element of Studs Terkel. We got to take a news break, but we'll be back with these four artists. I do think of you as an artist.
Beats hanging drywall, brother. Anything to avoid on
a
sport.
Long time since you've been hanging drywall, but stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Back wood.
Music. Courtesy of Ernie Skatten, the engineer of this show and the winner of the Super Bowl, in a small sense. Tom Brady may get more press, but Ernie may indeed be happier than Tom Brady is. I've got another half hour with my friends Tony Fitzpatrick, his son Max, Lisa Mora, and Caetano Avezzato, a couple of astonishingly talented photographers, whose exhibition will be opening Friday at the Dime Gallery, a Fitzpatrick Enterprise at 1513 Northwestern Avenue.
Plenty of parking.
Plenty of free parking.
Free beer.
It's everything. It's everything any artist, it's everything anybody who wants to buy a photograph could want.
Absolutely.
Max, talk about the Dime Gallery. You spent a lot of time there. It's
space. I've spent like 3 years of my life at the moment in that building. We have two galleries. We actually just had a show last night at our other one called Adventureland Gallery.
Right.
And we opened up another gallery called The Dime because we were just sort of, overwhelmed by...
good art.
People who... good art. And then people that we wanted... that we want to give shows. And we only have 12 months out of the year. And now with two galleries, we have 24 shows out of the year. And, Yeah, I mean, it also gives an opportunity for this guy to show his work and display himself, yep, and not sure. have to rely on, you know, Chicago representation, which is a really good thing in the art world. So
the politics of Chicago gallery scene.
It's
ridiculous. We take a little percentage of sales.
Yeah, I know, which is so rare. So rare.
Yeah, well, we found other ways to make money.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And, I mean, just we meet people and, you know, we don't have really a set plan of how our year goes. You know how we function.
I do, and I love the way you function. It's kind of...
When we see something, we think more people would be excited about it.
You trust your instincts, your aesthetic instincts.
Yeah.
And in a sense, this is the birth of this show by Lisa and Caetano. You saw their work in Paris. And then Caetano, then these two characters who are making messes on the rugs of the hotel in which they're staying.
Well, and we also had conversations every night.
Yeah.
Because you know? He's the night man. He's the night manager.
And at what point did you say, hey, I have a gallery in Chicago you guys should show here?
I think from the start.
To Max, yeah.
I think from the start. Yeah, the first thing Caetano actually showed me was this landscape and this beautiful... is it a sunset or
I think
a
that's what I put on yeah, Facebook. But put that shot on Facebook.
I mean, it's just this beautiful peach sky and just kind of like these rocks and like little ponds there. But it's beautiful and
painterly.
I think
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, from when I saw that photo, I knew I wanted to have them. I didn't think the show would happen this soon. I mean, it literally happened. The next year, Caetano,
did you believe these two jokers when they say, "Hey, we have a big gallery in Chicago. You come have a show here." you know, come on, Tony. It's like, you say, really? You have
a
show?
A gallery?
No one's ever going to see
me
again.
They wouldn't let this guy.
Lisa, if we get on this plane and go to Chicago, no one will ever see us again.
They want to move here.
I would never do this kind of judgment.
you must have been excited about it. Your wife. Lisa has had shows in Paris.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this your first show in the United States?
It's the first time we've been in the United States. We've shown in Paris, in Arles. Do you know Arles?
Sure.
City of photography in the south of France. So Lisa showed there last year. And in Paris, we did some a few group exhibitions, one solo exhibition. On the same series we're going to show here in Chicago.
How many pieces will you have at the Dime Gallery starting this Friday?
About 20 pieces.
20 each or 20 combined?
No, all combined.
20 combined.
Yes. Is this the first time you guys have ever shown together?
No, the solo show we did in Paris, there was a few pictures for me.
This must be, I don't mean to, this must be very exciting for the two of you.
Yes, very exciting.
Tony and Max aside, I mean, I could not imagine working with two better, more fun and caring, nurturing people. But nevertheless, I mean, your first show in the United States is a big deal.
Totally.
Have you had a show in Paris, Mr. Fitzpatrick?
I'm about to.
Are you?
I'm about to, yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah, I've just finished all the artwork for a body of work called The Absinthe Birds.
Yeah.
And the poem is, it's going to be a book. It'll be out in May. And I've also resumed making another body of work called Lunch Drawings, which are a biography of my childhood and with pictures, you know.
Wow.
So, and we're thinking both of these things are going to be stage shows as well. So we're.
Yeah.
We're cooking that.
It's about time you got back on stage.
Yeah, you know, I kind of miss
I agree,
you know?
Rick. It is about time I got back on stage. Oh,
exactly.
You're talking about both of you. No, Max is acting now.
We just did a movie together. We just did Dreaming Grand Avenue.
Yeah, New City produced two movies this summer, and he's in both of them, and I'm in one of them called Dreaming Grand Avenue. Yeah, we're not in the same scene, so that's yet to be a thing.
Just,
but
that's just too much loveliness for one.
We're working on that, though. That'll be soon.
This is another aspect of this whole thing. There are very few people I know who know Chicago on a more intimate and incisive kind of level than does Tony Fitzpatrick. You are obviously going to, I don't know when you got, you and Lisa and Caetano, when you got here, but during your stay, and you're going to be here for the entire month? Will you be here for the...
No, you're going to New York for a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was going to spend 1 week in New York.
But, but you'll be here for a while.
Yeah.
What is it, Tony, you want to show them about Chicago?
You know,
what do you want them to know?
What I've done so far is I've introduced them to a good sushi place, a good French joint, a good burger joint. And then I kind of let people go find the city for themselves, you know, which is kind of how I navigated Paris. I just went out and walked.
Yeah.
You know, I went out and walked all over the city. And they went to the observatory this morning. They walked there.
Yes.
You know, they walked. They're Parisians, so they walked miles. You know, anything they ask me about, I certainly tell them. They visited Central Camera, you know, on Wabash.
Sure.
Which has been there since 1892.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would give them maybe the Studs or Algren kind of tour of the city. I mean, I don't...
Or what exists of the Algren part of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, what I do not ever do is glamorize.
Oh, of course
and
not.
And what I don't ever do is... haul people downtown to see the Bean.
Yeah.
We've gone around, you know, Humboldt, Logan Square, Wicker Park.
They flew in on the negative 22 degree day, so they they got to
midnight.
Experience the coldest day in Chicago.
He's never been that
so
cold
surprised.
In his life.
I don't know you too well, but you both, I can sense from the two of you that you're both very smart, and I'm really surprised you didn't just get back on the plane and say, Tony, send me a check if anybody wants people buy my work.
Actually, they did everything to catch us. We spent more than 1 hour with the frozen door and the airplane. They couldn't open.
Yeah.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, I went down to the baggage, and I'm seeing all the baggage, and then the place is practically empty, and I'm like, Jesus, this is how Stephen King novels start. You know, it's like, this could go sideways really quick. You know?
But listen, ladies and gentlemen, they stayed and they are staying at the Dime Gallery, 1513 Northwestern Avenue. The opening of the exhibition is Friday night. Roughly 6 o'clock. Free
7
beer,
to 10, free beer,
free parking, and save your money to buy
absolutely
photographs.
Definitely.
We'll be back with these fine people in a couple minutes. Chicago knows best, right? Hit up. You want to see? Listen to the stupidest commercial in the history of radio. Listen
certainly.
To this.
Yeah.
Chicago knows best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. Well, you know what? It is 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And so if you're
If you're watching TV,
you're a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Total loser. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Musical selections by Ernie Skatton, who won some money on this year's incredibly boring Super Bowl. He bet. You know, his bet was that this would be the most boring Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls and playoff games and Bears preseason games. Anyway,
I wasn't even interested in watching this.
He would have been less after having
watched. I just read Mike Leibovich's book, called Big Game, which is about the culture of the NFL owners.
Oh God!
Oh my God!
Terrifying. Well, you're
a bunch of toxic little Donald Trumps. You know,
you two, do you care anything about football?
Yeah, but I wanted to add, it was the most boring game for the next years as well.
Really sloppily played, from what I heard. You know, I mean, these guys were telling
me. Well, the Rams were just awful. But look, Ernie is really, really, really.
Ernie, did you make some cake?
Yeah, I'm $10. I'm $10 richer. So
nice.
Go home, give it to my four children.
Yes,
$2.50 each. We're good.
Yeah, you are.
Or you take a piece. You give them $2 each, and you save some.
Save some for the wife and me. I got
it. Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. When you, for people, Max, not so much you, because you're not as the visual artist that these other three right. are. You're an actor, and you run the gallery, and you do a lot of other things, and yeah. you sort of help monetize your dad's artwork.
Try to, yeah.
Because his dad's a business moron.
Yeah, dad is not. He's on the same level. He's in the Business Idiot Hall of Fame, yeah, along
exactly.
with me.
Yeah.
Along
yeah.
with me. Yeah. Tony and Lisa and Caetano, how do you feel when you see someone standing in front of and looking at a piece of your art?
I feel like I've done my job.
No matter the
people
look.
Ask me, people always ask me, even if they disapprove. People always ask me, well, you know, who do you work for? And it's like, well, I tell them I work for you. I work for the kid who in 200 or 300 years might see one of these, and I will have engaged in a dialogue over a couple centuries, you know, much like Picasso did for me when I was a little kid, much like Chester Gould's work did for me, or Daumier, or Goya. Yeah, I mean... I remember the first time I ever looked at a piece of art seriously, I was about 8 years old, and I saw Nighthawks.
That would be the one that would do it for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I was looking at it. My mother took me on the free day, and I'd begun drawing. I looked at it, and I thought, this is like a gangster movie.
Yeah.
And sure enough, years later, Jules Dessin, who made The Naked City, they said, well, how did you figure out that lighting, that brilliant? And he goes... Edward Hopper, Nighthawks. Mm-hmm. So these disciplines all talk to each other. And what you hope in your lifetime of making art is that in some way you're part of that conversation.
Caetano, what about you? And Lisa, I hate to keep putting the arm on you. You're being so kind and to translate. And
yeah,
and
I think one of the strongest aspects in Lisa's work is how she kept the eye contact with subject.
No question, no kidding.
Yeah,
when someone is staring at the art, is the same feeling that I have. Is she kept the eye contact with the audience? You know,
wow.
So it's a link with someone who was shoot for the photography and the audience. I believe it's the same. The same link, you know, the same connection that you can provide for the audience and the subject. I think it's very important.
There's a real cultural exchange that happens.
But that's very interesting because you're connecting human beings through a static image. That's an amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing feeling. How about for you? That beautiful landscape that Max was talking about. That kind of shot of. I mean, it looks like a painting. I know that sounds... Here, Mr. Art Critic, that photograph looks like a painting. When someone looks at that, what do you imagine them thinking?
First thing is, for this photography specifically, yeah. It was so hard to get on this place. And as Tony said, the work is done as a possibility to show people isolated place, make them new something that maybe they would never be able to be there, you know, like to us. We spent 2 days to get on that place traveling.
Yeah.
We, even as a Brazilian citizens, we need a visa to get there, so it's a very restrict place to be.
Wow.
It's really, really hard, but it's like a paradise. It's amazing.
So, in a sense, you're showing people parts of the world that they might never see.
Exactly.
And Lisa is doing the same thing. She's showing them people they certainly, almost mm-hmm. certainly, will never, ever know. And your stuff, Tony.
And we also wondered, when I looked at the photos of the indigenous people, the Waro,
yeah.
from the Amazon, they've gone to great lengths to make themselves isolated from us, and you wonder...
Who could blame them?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm serious
exactly.
about that.
And I think when I look at the faces of the children, it's like, I would hide from the monsters, too. Yeah. You know, so there's this act of generosity spiritually translated into photographs that connects us. And
I know
you saw
you've had
it with Robert Capa, you saw sure. it with Ouija, with even Diane Arbus. There's this thing where we are more kin than we were before we looked at it.
You know, you're fascinated with photography too, in mm-hmm. that you've had Michael James, photographer's work mm-hmm. there. Have you ever, and I don't want to use the
I'm
word,
not
toyed
a good photographer,
with, have
no.
you ever gotten interested to the point of exploring photography
yeah,
as an artist?
I'm fascinated by it, but I don't really have any facility with the mechanical object itself. You know, my friend Timmy Anderson's a marvelous
yeah, sure.
photographer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And I know a lot of painters who are absolutely great photographers. I'm just not one of them. I collect photography. I mean, we've, you know, been collecting it since Michelle and I, since we got married, you know. I admire it greatly. It's like admiring ballet. It doesn't mean I can do it, you know.
Love that. I didn't
yeah,
need you
exactly,
to tell me.
Exactly, yeah. It's one of those art forms that just requires this
a different
moment.
Something different
yeah,
than you have.
Absolutely.
Max, what about you? I mean, I know you've been drawn to visual arts over
yeah.
the years.
Well, he makes films.
Yeah.
No,
well,
that's
when
ultimate visual art.
Yeah, in my beginning days of film school, you know, I did have a camera, and I did take pictures, but, you know, as you kind of venture into film school, you start to figure out more and more each year what you want to do, and I found myself more away from the camera and actually kind of relying on people to sort of help me with those decisions. You know, I'm not a cinematographer, and I think I'm a serviceable photographer in a way where I know what a good shot is. I know I can find something meaningful in a picture, but I'm just not dedicated enough to make it an everyday thing in my life. And I'd rather be in front of the camera than, you know, behind it.
Well, also the other thing, you know, in not getting it, you can open yourselves up to feel, I think, the wonder that is inherent in
absolutely.
The work of these two people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know
I
what I mean? I'm sure another photographer could see your work and say, oh, well, technically that's this. That would mess it up for me. I want the pure wonder. It's like seeing
absolutely.
Something magic, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I look at those and yeah. I have two thoughts. Who is this person? I wish I knew them. I wish there was a way I could enter their world for a minute and
But that's, but see, that's, but the great thing is you, in a sense, you have entered their world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it might be 10 below zero next Friday night. We don't know.
No.
But these amazing photographs will be in that room. And the people we don't know, people who are indigenous to the Amazon.
Well, it's a chance to take a trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And the project they're working on of the 10 cities and the refugees in Paris. Yeah. At some point, I want that show as well because
it is bound to be a great show. You can go online. You can go to my Facebook page and you'll see links to these two amazing photographers and incredibly nice people. Their show opens Friday. Free beer, free parking. Mm-hmm. Dime Gallery, 1513 Northwestern Avenue. Tony Fitzpatrick will be there. He will be the person who looks the least like a ballet dancer. Max Fitzpatrick will be there. He looks like a young actor, filmmaker. Fellas, thanks a million, Tony.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Rick.
Kaitana and Lisa, I'm such an admirer of your work. And if you will learn, I guarantee you will learn to be fluent in English before Tony is fluent in French.
Yeah.
That's my bet. That's my Super Bowl.
By the time they're done staying with us, they're going to learn every bad word in
that's
the
my
English
Super
language.
Bowl. That's my Super Bowl Sunday bet. Thank you all so
Thank
so
you.
Thanks
much.
For
Thank
having
you.
Us, man.
Thank you.